The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I'm Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have the pleasure of your company, as always. Well, in my previous podcast, which I had with Chris Loomis from Malibu, it was suggested, primarily by me, that the subject of our next podcast episode should be a true water skiing legend. And with that in mind, and with the cheers and appreciation from his fellow Australian compatriots, let's give it up, please, for Bruce Cockburn. All right, then. So, I mean, that was a nice little welcome there. Eh?
Yeah, very nice, Sam.
Okay. All right, then. Looks like some of these answers are going to be short and very succinct, okay? I'm getting that vibe from the get-go. So you're one of the judges, one of the panel of officials here at the U17 World Water Ski Championships, and you've been doing this judging gig for a while, and before that, I mean, you were one of the world's top overall skiers going back, to the 1960s, wasn't it?
70s. I started in 67 and finished in 75.
Yeah, because that was, what was that? Your first Worlds was in Copenhagen,
first,
right?
Worlds was in Sherbrooke, Canada.
Sherbrooke, Canada. And
then Copenhagen.
Then Copenhagen, and then...
Then it was...
Bogota?
No, Spain.
Banyoles.
Banyoles, Spain, then Bogota.
Yeah, I seem to be getting the ones in between, you know, that escape me, but at least I'm going on good progression from there, I suppose. So, you've been involved in this sport a while, and I mean, the last time I saw you was almost last year, wasn't it? Were you at the Worlds in Rochetta?
I was at the Worlds in Rochetta. I was an official judge at the Worlds in Rochetta as well.
Okay, excellent. So, I mean, and how long have you been involved in this judging game?
I've been doing it probably since about the 80s, mid-80s, 90s. But at world level, my first Worlds I judged at was the 1998 Junior Worlds. And then I judged at the first Open Worlds I judged at was in 2007 in Austria.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I think I was actually there. I think that might have been my first World Championships as an announcer. So, I mean, we're kind of a kindred spirit in that realm, I guess. So, I mean, what have been the highlights for you in your storied career? I mean, we mentioned that you started competing at this level in the late 60s, early part of the 70s, you know. And, I mean, you're competing against guys like Wayne Grimditch and Paul Seaton and the likes. Maybe you might have been a little bit too young at the time, but John Battleday and Mike Hazelwood and Jeanette Stewart Wood.
All those, Ricky McCormick from the U.S. They were all the skiers I competed against regularly.
Anyway, so kind of give a comparison as to what it was then to what it is now, you know, because some people believe that a lot of what has made the sport the sport that it was back in the 1970s all the way back has kind of gotten lost a little bit in the shuffle with the advent of technology and trying to rush to be, you know, spot on accurate, you know?
I mean, the sport's changed a lot. It's really unrecognisable in a lot of ways with the technology, the advancements in equipment, boats. I mean, the boats are vastly different now than what we skied behind back in the 60s and 70s. All those things have helped improve performances, so the standard of the skiing today is vastly superior to what it was in scores wise. Probably skill wise it's probably similar because equipment's better now, so that it improves how good people, what the scores people are getting.
and the engines and the boats as well, because we're all the way back then. I mean in Europe, I mean, we were basically skiing behind a Bosch, you know. Mastercraft weren't around. Correctcraft was pulling the Masters and the majority of tournaments on the western side of the Atlantic, you know. But what did you guys have in Australia though?
We had a lot smaller boats. They were
like a rowboat type.
Yeah, no, a little better than the rowboat, but yeah, I mean, they're a little bit different to what the rest of the world was using at the time, but they were still pretty good boats for their period. In the period, they're nothing like the boats we have today. They're a lot more comfortable, the boats, and they're a lot more powerful and probably track a lot better. Back when I started, there was manual driving, no tracking of the boat with
you got
equipment.
What you got,
you got what you got. The driver gave you what you got. No one really knew what you were getting, so you just had to live with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And and indeed, one of the events that that your career has been built on, you know, in the seasons that you were active, was the Moomba Masters, you know. And I mean, some people have gotten a sense of what the Moomba Masters is, you know, with the rollers and the King Tides and everything else, and the reason they had to put the gate rule in, you know, within the last few seasons, you know. But I mean, back in those days, I mean, it was on TV, you know, on what was it, on Seven Networks?
It was.
Yeah, and I mean, you. And I mean, from as far as I can tell, you're actually one of the broadcast team towards the end of your career as well. So, kind of give us a sense of what that was about, you know.
Well, Moomba has always been a fantastic tournament. Back in the day, it was a harder tournament for the skiers because we didn't have as much equipment to try and make the conditions better for the skiers than what we have today, but. The crowds were bigger back in the 70s because there was more room, there wasn't as many fences, wasn't as many regulations, so it just made the tournament a bit more fun in the old days, but it was a lot harder tournament to ski in because it was a lot rollier than what it is now.
What would you consider to be your crowning achievement within the sport of tournament water skiing? I know you're a Hall of Famer, but what were some of the highlights you can draw upon that would have propped up your candidacy for the Hall of Fame at that time that you were inducted, which I think was
in the 90s, I think.
It was in the 90s, yeah. I know that much at the very least.
I'm not good at remembering things like that, but well, I won the World Trick Championships in 1969, so that's a highlight in my skiing period. And one of the other major things I probably am proud of is that I was the first person to ever do a reverse toe back, and which created toe back to backs, toe fives, all those surface spinning trip moldable tricks. Because
tell me about that process of learning, because I'm sure that people were thinking you're absolutely off your rocker for trying something that in those days was like incredibly dangerous.
Well. It came about, my brother and I were looking at the rule book, and there was a trick in the rule book called a toe back to back, and we had no idea how you could do a toe back to back. So we spent a winter we drilled a hole through the wall of Mum's lounge room.
Oh, wow.
Put a weight, because it was back in the days before bungee cord and all this sort of stuff. Put a hole through the wall, put a weight outside onto a trick rope inside, and we spent a winter playing around trying to learn how to do this toe back to back. And out of that, we worked out the reverse toe back. And then when it got warmer, I got the pleasure of being the first one to try it. So I tried it without a release because we didn't have releases in those days.
What? I mean, to anyone listening from a tricks background and hearing that you tried a reverse toe back without a release, by the way. I mean, come on! I mean,
it was just the way it was. No one had even thought of using releases. And we did all our toe tricking without a release. And then they came out with a mechanical release, which sort of worked, but it didn't work that great. And then eventually, after a period, someone came up with a rope release, which is so simple it's ridiculous, but no one had thought of it.
When the rope release came out, I mean, it was like one of those epiphanies, and you know, like said, why don't we think of this before? And it was actually an Australian that actually came up with it.
I don't know who it was, but I know it was an Australian.
Katrina Nolan. In 2003 in the Junior World Championships, the very same championships that we're here right now. So, I mean, sometimes the sport has a habit of shooting itself in the foot a little bit here with the advent of the tow release. But, I mean, what other tricks would you consider to be some of your finest moments in terms of it, of their creation, of their inclusion into trick runs?
The tow back was around. Some of the hand tricks were, after the reverse tow back, wrapped hand tricks came into, were applied, it was applied to hand tricks, because before that you did, no one did a side wrap.
No one did
two-handed backs and fives and everything was done like that. So,
and you still had two trick skis as well for some of those, you know, because to the best of my memory, the only person, one of the first people in World Championships level to do a one-handed ski for one-handed pass on both passes was Carlos Suarez in 1975.
Would have been, yeah.
But I mean, you were before that era, so I mean, two skis. So what was your two ski run like?
Started with a Waco, step tricks, wake step tricks, surface step tricks, then kick the ski off, put the foot in the toe piece and do toe wake back to backs and toe back to backs and things like that.
Wow. I wish I could find a video of your run, because I'm sure it's quite dynamic.
By today's standard, it's pretty basic.
No, you didn't think... Now what would happen if I try and edge the ski and make it go up above my head a little bit here and see what
I was well before the flip era. I never did flips because I'd finished skiing before they came into existence.
All right then. So we've had a look at the past. Let's have a look at the future. I mean, you obviously heard a little bit from Chris from Malibu about the potential of the sport going forward within the next few years. Any kind of takeaways about what he said and what potential challenges are lined up for the future growth of this sport going forward?
I mean, I think the sport's developing tremendously. I mean, you only got to look at the men's tricks fields now. So many young skiers and tricking at such a high level. The Moomba Masters this year had seven over 12,000 point trickers competing in the event. So
that'd have been unthinkable years ago.
For a long time, there was at the most two people who could trick over 12,000 points.
So as we kind of wrap up this. Well, an abridged version of the TWBC podcast. I didn't want to keep you around too long and just try and maximize the amount of time that I have a true living legend, you know, and a real treasure for the sport of tournament water skiing, Mr. Bruce Cockburn, an IWWF Hall of Famer and also an Australian Water Ski Federation Hall of Famer. Anything you want to close with, especially where it pertains to your crowd and posse here that are surrounding you right now?
All I can say is I'm here judging at the event, but I'm also supporting the Australian team, and I just hope they all perform to their absolute best.
All right, let's give it up here for Bruce Cockburn. Yes, and that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot indeed. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.